So when you say that, so, Katie said that Roxana was more ascendant than me, and Allison, you said, no, I don't think so. So in other words, you're saying, Katie's saying, I feel like Roxana is more sovereign. She's more sovereign with herself than I am with myself. And you're saying, Allison, that no, I think, Katie, you're more sovereign than Roxana is. Is this what we're saying? Is this what we're getting at?
My God, Brian is the master of the word. No, I would say nobody is more sovereign than I am, and I think Katie would say the same.
No, Katie's saying that Roxy's more sovereign. Oh. That's what she said.
I mean, I think
okay, sorry.
So level and I do think you can slide up and down. You know, I think that
you can,
I don't think it's a done deal during there. I think that's right.
She's not more sovereign than I am. I will not submit to that.
Okay, well, let me ask you this, Katie. Now, I've asked you the other side of the question, but what does it mean to you when you say Iandom is in me? What does that mean to you when you say that?
That I just, it's in me. I take it with me everywhere I go. It's not something that I have to, like, hurt myself. It's not something that I have to be talking about to have.
Your phone's best friend. Katie, your phone's breaking up. You're not on a cell phone, are you?
I am. I have been all night.
Okay, well.
Just that.
It's clear right now.
That.
Yeah.
Your phone's clear right now, Katie.
Oh, good. I'm glad. It's just as simple as that. I take it with me everywhere I go.
Right.
It's
right.
Inside
okay.
me.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm bigger than I and them. I'm bigger than I and them.
Yeah. That's good. That's good.
But she takes her last thinkings are what Ion says. That's the only thinking she retains.
But that helps me. I mean, before it's like, okay, she was in Iandom, meaning before maybe Iandom was bigger than she felt she was. Now
definitely.
She's flipped it where I'm bigger than Iandom, but Iandom is in me. She still has Iandom, but she's flipped the, you know.
And the bigger doesn't mean better. And I guess
right.
that's why I don't have any problem saying that I feel like Roxy's more ascended than I am. Maybe it's just I'm really comfortable in my admiration for her.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that makes sense, but it's like I just don't, I don't even know how to articulate it. I don't know. I don't know what I would say.
Well,
I think it's just Katie, I think it's just the different ways the two of you came about it. You asserted your identity maybe with a little more violence than Roxy felt she had to.
Roxy didn't assert her violence or anything. She just made videos. That's all you know her for.
Well, and the only reason why I brought it up is because Bob said, look, you need to do what Katie did. You need to come in here and be hated. And so what I'm saying is that's not true because Roxy hasn't done that. She's been adored, and I love how much she's been adored. I mean, I don't.
Well, why is she adored?
Because she's beloved. I don't know. She just is.
No, because you guys get to see close-ups of me. I'm the thing that's fucking adored.
Oh,
and she's adored for making me available to you guys.
You know, that's true.
That's true.
Because I remember before I met you, I just loved being able to see. And there's a noise that you make with your mouth when you go. Sometimes when you're talking, you go, and I could see it in the video. So that's exactly right. And then after I met you, then it was just like seeing something familiar. So I saw my Nina Pinto Santa Maria, so I had a context for it. So I don't notice that as much in the videos anymore, but someone who's never been with you. Because for people who haven't been with Bob, it is a weird thing when you're used to having somebody in your ear constantly and then suddenly they're next to you. It's a really
Roxy has a lot of fans or friends in Germany, her art world friends, mm-hmm. and the best they come up with, what is this guy that you keep posting videos? What's up with that? Who is this fucking idiot? That's what she gets from people who don't know anything about me or what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Negative reviews, very negative. And she started to explain to one guy about what I say or something to do, and the guy, and he's a real close friend, actually started to look at her with horror at a certain point at what she was saying.
Of course they would, because, see, what you are, I would say what you are, what you project, Bob, is so foreign and so hostile compared to what everybody else in the world is used to, that that's the reaction you're going to get. I mean, just the way it is.
Well, in these videos, I'm not hostile. I'm very nice, and I talk.
I'm not even talking about you happen to be forceful. I'm saying just the words. If you go into speaking your McLuhan language, like, you know, cliche archetypes and all of this other, it's like that, this hostility to their, you know, their world. They're like, what is this? I know the guy is speaking English, but this is a foreign fucking language he's saying, you know.
Yeah, okay. I get you. So Katie, the is someone, anybody else would like to ask Katie or say something to Katie that's here?
Can I tell you guys? I have to sign off for a minute. So, goodbye, Bob.
You're coming back, Allison?
Yep, I'll come back, but I have to sign off for a minute.
Again, I think we need to rake you over the coals. For some reason, Allison, I don't know what you complete your thoughts with David. I don't know if you ever complete thought, or he encourages your rambling. I just can't believe your inarticulate incompleteness all the time.
I love how much you hate me, Bob, so I will be back.
I can't say I hate you. I hate the way your mind and mouth work.
Okay, I love the way you hate my mind and mouth work. I will come back and
and if Katie's gone, we will put you on the hop seat, and we're going to fix this fucking reality.
I'll try to make amends. Bye, guys.
You don't have to, we're going to fix you. You don't have to make amends. So is anybody got anything to say?
Thanks, Bob. Bye.
Yeah, okay. I bet you she doesn't come back. Okay, so
Katie, what's your fascination with McLuhan and Pound and all these other ones that you go over every week or 2 weeks now?
I mean, love and affinity and preference, I don't think you can always necessarily, like, give a reason for that. I'm just attracted to it.
Right.
I can also, when I first came into Iandom, I was looking for the power. I think that's why a lot of people get on these spiritual paths, because they're going to have spiritual gifts and power and hear anything that you want for your life is possible. That's certainly the message behind The Secret. That's certainly the message behind the passage in the Bible that says, seek first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added unto you.
Mm-hmm.
But then as soon as I started to look at the McLuhan stuff, it made me realize that if you don't have a context for that, it really doesn't matter if you have the power or not. Like, the McLuhan piece and the Bob knowledge really legitimizes any sort of reason why you would want to even have that power in the first place, and how you would know to be, how you would wield it. I can't imagine not wanting to know this stuff now. And now that the bell has been rung, I can't remember what it's like to not know. And I know that even though I'm really comfortable with my rage, anger, and hatred now, in the beginning, when Bob was first blowing my mind with the piece about how we're not really mad at men, it has nothing to do with men, the patriarchy has nothing to do with men, it has everything to do with the printing press, it was such a huge relief to let that go. And now to know that anything that's bothering me in my life really is nothing more than being massaged by a certain technology, and once you know that, you have instant access to relief for anything that's rough. That's a real gift. Because if you just practice media ecology, then you can pick to enjoy hating things if you want, like villains and whatnot in the play that is your life that you're creating. And nothing has the control over you anymore to just like fuck with you because it's beaming at you or broadcasting at you. And I'm not talking content. I'm talking technology, media. So it's a key to solve all problems. Like before, I thought I had to pray to God for relief, and now
hold on a second. It is a key to solve. What's the it exactly? The
media ecology. Media ecology.
Okay, now that's a big statement to say that media ecology is the key.
She means directing your animus at machines and not people. In other words, I just realized when people ask Ian, how do I relax and allow? Katie said, you do Bob stuff. You read McLuhan, and you learn that you're bugged by media, not people. That's what you learned. That's the how.
And then you can just turn it off. You just literally practice media ecology. And a lot of that seeking behavior that Allison was talking about, where it's like, do you think everybody's always, or you, Brian, or somebody asked, are we always searching? I think there's a subtle difference between searching and seeking. I don't know if everybody's searching, especially for, like, truth.
Mm-hmm.
But I know that a lot of people engage in seeking behavior, constant running of the finger up and down the iPhone, seeking, seeking, seeking. Everybody's, it's information, a lot of it. People are, it's like a rat pushing that lever, waiting for the pellet to come out. And that kind of behavior is just, it's exhausting, it's draining, it's not creative.
Right, but let's go back to, Bob's comment about it's the machines, that's aggravating you and not the people. So if you turn it all off, you turn everything off, I mean, do you find that people don't bother you, that it's really that case, or does it, somebody's personality can really get under your skin?
Well, here's the thing. I don't really have to turn it off because since I understand the maelstrom, I can just grab the barrel, go down into the eye of the whirlpool, and be fine. So I don't even have to turn it off. I just know what it is. That makes sense.
So
yeah.
Well, in other words, you actually know if it's a machine or if it's a person that is rubbing you the wrong way.
When people rub me the wrong way, I actually enjoy it. I love to hate people. I have no problem with it. And if I don't want to engage them anymore, I just look at something else. But I enjoy people.
You mean hating media phenomena?
Well, yeah, and I have a question.
People I work with, or people in yoga, I mean, anybody.
Oh, even in person, even at work, you don't mind hating?
Sure, sure. Not at all. And I find myself giving advice to people lately, like someone close to me was venting about someone that she was really irritated with lately. And I said, it's okay to feel that way. You don't have to determine
whether
it's jealousy.
I get this from Katie that you realize that thought has no reality, and you can think anything you want. And if you're thinking bad thoughts, that's okay. It's not you. It's just your mind bullshitting. That's a good insight. Yeah, it's your mind that's doing all the stuck and stuff. Yeah, not your feelings, your mind. You're talking about my head feelings.
When you're brought up in a Judeo-Christian culture or then switching to a New Age culture where you're supposed to toward anyone, and you have that feeling, stuck in a place of losing your softness because you feel like you're unworthy. Feelings? I don't feel that way anymore. I mean,
are you staying still, Sarah? I mean, Katie, are you staying in one place right now?
Yeah.
Standing?
Yeah.
Because maybe when you move, the phone goes out a little bit, so maybe don't move as much. Or when your phone is working, stay there. No, we missed a bit of that.
Katie. You don't know when your phone's working a lot, so you can't figure out, well, should I stay here or there?
But we didn't get that last statement, Katie. What did you say?
Well, in a nutshell, it's okay to have thoughts of rage, hatred, and non-forgiveness and still be God.
That's right. You're detached from your mind, and that's a big deal.
Mm-hmm. Right. When you grow up hearing that God is love and God is forgiving and love is patient and kind and endures all things, then it's hard to accept your godhood if you think that you have to let go of all those negative thoughts.
Yeah, if you think there are thoughts, then you have to think.
Yeah.
If you think there are thoughts, you have to think, and other thoughts that are not thinkable, then you got it wrong. And it's really that simple. Your mind's not going to affect anything. And all that New Age bullshit, that what you think determines your reality, that's fucking bad because that will make you worse. So you have to go, and that may not be true. Your thinking might affect you. But if you favor the idea that your mind's never going to make a decision, it's always going to be counteracting to whatever it said before, attention to its conclusions or temporary patterns, then you're free.
Another sense of freedom that I feel is, and if I ever, like, seemingly forget to do something that may have made me feel less than in the past, like which I seldom do because I think more with my gut, so things just happen the way they're supposed to happen. But say, for instance, I forgot to call my father on his birthday. I wouldn't be mad at myself or think about myself as being a bad daughter because I can't be mad at myself for not thinking the thought I didn't think.
Yeah.
I come out mad at myself for the thoughts I didn't think either. So there's just never anything wrong.
So now would you say, because you see before it was the machines and people, and now would you say it's the machine's effect on the mind?
Yeah, the thinking that machines do, she's not bothered by.
Because, see, that's what I was thinking earlier. Throw out the machines and throw out all the other people. When it comes right down to it, it comes down to you and the fucking labyrinth. That's what the I don't know. I don't want to call it a battle.
No, that's a big part of it, Brian. The mind is a big part of it.
But, well, I say it's more than a big... I say it's
well,
more than
thought,
even
Brian.
A big part
of
it.
What are you going to say? It's just another fucking thought.
Yeah, but no, the mind is it. It's like everything
well,
has
well,
to
no,
go
don't get...
The
now you're getting lost in your mind. You're trying to establish
right.
your thought
but
here.
The point is to get over it or through
that's
the
right. Well, Brian's trying to actually think a thought that stays forever.
Yeah.
Get over that, Brian. You know what? You're at the bottom list of the ascended. You're the least ascended person here. I have told
you
that many times.
Get over it.
There's
a thought.
Can you handle that thought?
Yeah, I can handle it. Get over it. Get through it. Get over it.
Yeah.
Get under it and bump your head. Who cares?
Yeah, Brian, there's no thoughts.
Understand.
You come up with some other thoughts. Invent some other thoughts. That's why Katie gets on here, and she has new thoughts because she engages thinking. She's not afraid of it.
Oh, you don't want to go there, Bob. What about you, Bob? How about you engaging new thoughts? You know, if you listen to the archives, 99% of your thoughts is Marshall McLuhan or LaRouche, or Thompson, or Coker. I mean, and when we talk about biases, hey, we all got biases, but, man, your bias is so...
Listen, I'm a lazy thinker. I rely on what I knew.
Well, no, you don't even do that. You rely on
right.
what...
I don't even do that. I just come up with
what
stuff.
Everybody else said. But, yeah. Well, yeah. McLuhan said this, or... No, well, you know what?
I'm
not
afraid to say that. It's just a fucking thought. I'm not afraid to quote anybody. I'm not trying to be original. But I end up being very original because you guys don't know those thoughts.
Well, it's relative originality. Depends on who's listening.
Well, what is it? I know that Katie likes it, and that's all I need. And Roxy likes it. All the ascended ones love my fucking reservoir of thoughts, okay?
Well, and that's great. I don't have a problem with it. They should, you know, if it's something they enjoy, they should tear into it until they can't take it no more. I ain't got no problem with that.
So what would you like to talk about?
I'm saying it's not my gig, but, hey, if you're into it, get after it.
Well, what are you into?
I'm into the Bible, Bob. I'm into the Bible and Revelation.
McLuhan said a lot about the Bible. I can tell you a lot that LaRouche, McLuhan, Coker, and Thompson said about the Bible. You want to do that?
Well, and, you know, if you want to talk about the one thing that does interest me about McLuhan is that you know, he read the Bible every day, or five versions of the Bible every day. So that's an interesting thing, is why would McLuhan be so, in whatever word you want to use, into it or attracted to it, or there had to have been something there for someone to take the time to read five different versions of the Bible every single day. Something.
Okay, Brian, Ian said he was a parallel worlder. And he had families, two other families.
Right.
Maybe he learned from his parallel worlding a very interesting way to look at the Bible. And he was getting it like Ion suggested. So it was new to him, just like, you know, and Ionette likes listening to the Bible or looking at it once they catch some clues from Ion.
Right, and that's what happened to me. See, I would say that just like Allison, her definition of atheism or being an atheist was just hating religion, which I did too. I hated the fucking Bible. I hated anybody that came around.
I don't want to hear that
preaching.
Stuff. I don't want to hear your past. I know.
But listen,
I just want to make sure. Remember, leave and without saying goodbye. Okay, Katie?
Oh, I won't. I absolutely won't.
Okay, good. I don't want to hear about your past, Brian. What is it about the Bible now that you're learning, or something you want to say about it?
Well, just when says this is what this is being said in the Bible, that's just absolutely fascinating to me. I'd say one of the biggest things that so far out of the Bible is Revelations chapter 7. You know, everybody talks about the 144,000 Jews. They think it's people, but when Ion says no, that's DNA. Like, what?
Okay, well, we know that thought. You just like going over that thought a lot.
Yeah, but see, that's profound, and it's the root of all. It's the root of everything. You mentioned power. Everybody's like, "What the fuck does it mean to come into your place of power?" Well, I say, when you come into your place of power, it's as you activate that 144,000. That's your power.
Right. Okay. Well, I have someone here. You're a person living up in Ontario. I don't know if you want your name said. You can come in anonymous. Would you ask a question or two, or you have to be too quiet? I want to see if you have anything you want to say. Come on, you know who you are. I'll say your name if you don't speak.
They're not afraid of you, Bob.
Maybe they have nothing to say.
Well, she's here. She actually ran off. Foster daughter, for fuck's sake. Can't get my foster daughter to say anything. Trying to get my foster daughter. She's been sitting here for a while. Say something. Karen comes in. Leave her alone, Bob. You know, her foster mother. It's a fucking family fight right here on this show. I mean, she writes, okay, what did she, she wrote to me something without violating privacy, but she says, Bob, Sue Bone told me to check out your stuff with Ion Revelations chapter 23. Where is that, please? Well, Shannon, you need $500. You need $50. You need $250 to hear it. $250 is $50 is five parts for chapter 23, and it's a recording, and we sell it right there on howionic.com. Go to howionic.com in the catalog section and look at all the recordings we offer, or go to ionandbob.com and listen to all the recordings for free. And you'll find out the shocking things we say. I've noticed Shannon occasionally will write, what? Sue didn't arrive back from San Diego, Chile? Like, she's shocked at some of the basic things Ion says. So I just want to have her be more fine-tuned in her listening. Yes, we're saying shocking things, and you should have noticed a few of them by now. You have anything you want to add to that, Carol? No. Okay, next point. Katie. Say something interesting. Say something interesting. Oh no! Wait a minute. We got Allison's back. Katie, you and I and Brian. Let's try to get Allison to figure out why she can't stay on a thought for very long. Let's sort of analyze Allison.
Oh my God! I can't believe you outed me again.
Well, you're here. What do you mean? We didn't help you.
No, I was trying to be stealth.
No, and I can see you're here, you know, and you said you'd want. Now there it is. Look at that. Do you remember? You said you'd come back and talk, and now you say you're back and you're saying you're stealth.
Well, I haven't listened to anything that you did in the last 40 minutes or whatever it was.
So pick a topic, people. We got a fucking schizophrenic here. You do not notice that you were on this show here for 40 minutes?
What?
Why did you just say you did not notice anything I said the last 40 minutes?
Because I was not online on the call.
No, you were gone only for 10 minutes at most. We just said goodbye to her, right, Katie? We just said goodbye to her about 7 minutes ago. Would you agree, Katie?
Here we go, guys. This is a great example of timelessness.
Okay.
No,
so
I was gone for a long time, Bob.
Yeah, all right. So this is why who are we talking to? What's her name? Allison. This is why Allison is so scattered.
Yeah.
She has a weird timing going on. You may be a worse phenomenon than Brian.
I do. I have a weird thing with, and Ian has been very clear about that. That's cool.
Well, Allison, how long?
Katie's still here? Yeah, she might
still
be
here.
Katie,
she's
only been gone about 7 minutes, wouldn't you say?
Oh, my God, you guys, are you kidding?
Yes, you've only been gone at maximum 10 minutes.
This is huge. This is
huge.
I was gone. I know I was gone for like 30 minutes.
Yeah.
No, seriously.
Who says yeah?
Linda.
What, you think you've been gone 30 minutes and Katie and I and Brian are saying 10 minutes?
I bet she's been gone about 20 minutes.
That's not 30 minutes.
Okay, that was splitting hairs, okay?
Yeah.
Is that Renee?
Hey, Katie. She was not. Katie's the Ascendant One. So we got Roxanne here now. She's backup for the Ascendant Ones, but I'm just talking to Katie. Katie, to you and me, I'd say 11 minutes, right? Remember we said goodbye to her? And I said
seriously,
that she won't be back. Right, Katie? 11 minutes ago. Right, Katie?
Right.
Yes, and it might even be less. So what is this phenomenon? This may be why your thinking is so incomplete. You're shifting from one person to another or something.
Well see, this is you. This is classic Bob, though. Bob, I'll just say that you're blowing it way out of proportion.
No, she is. She just said it was big, Brian. You're undermining it. She
no,
said
I'm not.
It's huge.
First of all, you said, hey, she was only gone 7 minutes. Allison says, no, I was gone 30 minutes. Now we have a third party saying, no, it was like 20 minutes, 20,
no, we don't.
Minutes.
No, Linda. Linda is muted 90% of the time. Linda is not. She's worse than Allison. Linda, she makes noises happen. She doesn't know what's going on. Linda's not even qualified to speak. And so we're not assessing her opinion. And I'm going with Katie.
Okay.
I'm going with Katie.
Okay, hold on. Is there anybody else on the phone that has another opinion? How long was Allison gone? Did anybody actually time it? Yes, no, maybe so.
It felt like 10 to 12 minutes.
Yeah.
It felt like
seriously, you guys?
Yeah.
No, 30 minutes.
Hey, Carolyn, you heard me say, I was walking over there and I said, Allison's not going to be back. Remember I said that?
Yes, yes.
And she showed up like 10 minutes or less, right? Yes, I mean, Carolyn,
no.
8 minutes. I'm telling you, go with us, Allison, because then we can get into something big. You actually having some weird anomalies going on here.
Well,
for 30 minutes.
It is huge.
It's okay because it'll be cleared up next week because somebody's going to call in or write in and say, you know what? I listened to the archives and I timed it, and it was exactly this many minutes Allison was gone.
Okay, good. Let them do that. But we know what we experience, unless we're experiencing anomalies.
Yeah, that's it. Everybody's experiencing their own anomalies.
We're. But
I would swear right now, Bob, that you were experiencing a huge anomaly with me because I was not here. I swear.
Okay, but listen. I got that.
30 minutes.
Now here, we've got Carolyn, we've got Katie, and me saying it's under 10 minutes.
Wow, that's so cool.
Yes, it's cool. But it's
oh my God, I'm loving it. They've
you know,
presented this to me many times.
Not, it's enough about you. That's just mute her. That's mute her and discuss her. She's just kind of totally whack. It's like when she speaks, when Elle speaks, she thinks she's finishing her thoughts because it's going on a lot longer than we're experiencing. That's what's going on here. She's not. She's saying a lot of thoughts that she thought she completed, and I'm listening with a sane mind and noticing she's not finishing anything. Like Katie, when you were listening to Allison talk for an hour there, did you find it hard to see where she was going with her thinking?
The only time I was a little bit between each movie thing.
Your phone's a little screwed up. Say that again.
Is it better now?
No.
No. It's not moving around. So.
Okay, right there.
Okay. When she was talking about this fish movie, Bob Dylan experiment,
yeah,
I found that a little bit difficult. But when we were identifying each other over the New Age stuff, I wasn't having any problem following her.
Yeah, because you had the same experience. That was the experience. But then we were trying to make some patterns out of it, and you didn't get any patterns out of it other than you had the same experience. And I was trying to get her to say something about it, and we did get a couple parents. I did a couple later. But the so what do you make? Let's pretend Allison has a problem and she's experiencing extra long time. What would you say about that, Katie? Just make up some ideas about it.
That she's experiencing extra long time.
Yes, that she thinks she's finishing her thoughts.
She's flitting in and out of worlds and not finishing something and then flitting into another world and doesn't realize how much time has gone by, so she's done, but she's not.
Yeah, she thinks she's finishing. In her experience, she is finishing her thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's ask Allison what beverages she's engaging this evening.
I am totally floored. I ate dinner with my husband. I can disconnected with you guys, and then I was so not connected, and I came back on, and you're talking about how I am not here or I am here or whatever. I'm floored.
No, see, that's not clear. We're not saying here not. We're saying that you came back shorter than you thought you were gone. That's what we're saying.
Okay, well I get that, but. It's so shorter that tell me how it was shorter. I don't even understand what happened.
Yeah, no, it was a short time, and I don't know what Dave was doing to you. I'd check out that guy.
No, it was a good 40 minutes, 50 minutes.
Even Brian was bad. It wasn't that long.
See, this is like the fisherman that goes fishing, he catches a fish. Well, it was this big. Then you ask him again. No, now it's this big. It's bigger and bigger and bigger.
Yeah, I never thought that it would be a difference in the reincarnation or, reintroduction.
See, you don't even know. You use the word whatever a lot. You don't finish your sentence. Allison, let's find out what the fuck were you guys going through, and why aren't you going through that anymore from 20 years ago, you and Katie? Why don't you guys read that literature?
anymore? Let's see. Katie, are you there?
Yep. She's here until she's
I'm here.
Bye.
He's asking us what we are going through something anymore? Is that
20 years
said,
ago. Yeah, 20 years ago. The whole fucking reading these Oprah books. The Oprah books.
That's Carolyn.
Oh, here's Shannon. Here's Shannon. Shannon said, okay, Shannon comes in and says, she says, just listening, ha, ha, ha. Carolyn says, leave her alone. She laughs at her mother, foster mother said that. And then she says, Allison was gone 10 minutes.
Are you kidding me, you guys? This is so fun. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I was gone 40 minutes in my world.
No, you weren't.
Easily. No. Easily.
Okay, Allison, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
When you said, hey, I got to go. I got to do something. I'll be back.
Mm-hmm.
When you left, can you tell me exactly what you did in those 30 or 40 minutes?
Yeah, I think I can. I met my husband in the, you know, kitchen, and he had cooked dinner because I couldn't do it because I was on the phone. And then we moved the dinner downstairs, and I ate with him. And it was literally, Brian, it was like 30 minutes.
What did you talk about, Allison? What did you talk to David about?
Nothing. We ate together, and we watched TV, and, you know, it was nothing. But it was 30 minutes worth of stuff. What?
Did you eat a full meal? Did you watch a full episode of whatever was on TV?
Yep.
What was on TV?
Okay, so that's at least 30 minutes. A half-hour show, Allison?
Exactly.
Yeah.
It was about 40 minutes.
What was it? What was the show you were watching tonight, eating dinner?
Ooh. Oh, my God.
You don't know?
I can't remember, Brian.
Know, Allison.
It was, I didn't
Allison
care. I
was, Allison doesn't fucking know.
10 minutes ago.
He's slipping in and out. This is more than one Allison. There's more than one Allison going on here.
The show wasn't the point.
Yes, it is. It's part of the evidence here that you're not taking in a lot of
your life. Yeah, that's right, Allison. This is evidence. This is important. You got to know what the show was, if you watched the whole episode or not.
Okay. If I didn't if I didn't care, still, the actual show lasted 30 minutes.
That's right.
Okay, and while you were eating dinner and watching a movie or TV, what beverages were you drinking?
What beverages? Water.
Anything else?
No.
Water only.
Yeah. At this point, yes.
Okay.
And what else? I mean, this is so weird, you guys. This is so unique.
That's right. It is.
I'm amazed.
Yeah, we're discovering something about you, that you are flipping in and out of worlds. That's why you're a scattershot, you know.
I think that's true, Bob.
What?
Yeah. I think it's true, Bob.
Yeah, I think there's some kind of weirdness going on with your being, that you're shifting here and there. And
yeah, I think so, too. Should I ask Ion?
Yeah, when Ion shows up, sure.
Sure.
Well, you know what that's going to be. You're going to say, Ion, what did I watch on TV? And he's going to say, well, if you don't know, you ain't going to believe us.
Yeah.
But she's not going to ask that. She's going to go right to the anomaly.
I know.
And the anomaly is, Allison, there is no time. We're all arguing over a false fucking premise.
No, there is a general time. Didn't you read Croker's latest article?
Oh, here we go. What did Croker say about time?
Yeah, let's find that. I'll quickly go over and get it, Brian.
Was that Carolyn in the background laughing?
Yes, that was Carolyn laughing.
Yeah.
She does laugh occasionally. Did you hear her laughing now?
Not now, but I did before.
Okay, here it is, the Croakers, part one. It's a long article, Brian, and they start off saying...
Okay, hey, Bob, you're going to read the whole article?
No, just first paragraph or so. Here goes. More than ever, real power in the 21st century is space-bound, i.e. globalized, atmospheric, instantaneous. It is not that time has disappeared, but that the medium of time itself has been everywhere reduced, reconfigured, and subordinated to the language of spatialization, or spaceness. That is the meaning of real time, in quotes, real time, as part of the contemporary language of power. Time itself as an otherwise empty locative coordinate in the spatial networks of communication surrounding us. I'll do that again. That is the meaning of real time as part of the contemporary language of power. And then he defines real time as an otherwise empty locative coordinate in the spatial networks of communication surrounding us. But if that's
okay,
the case,
wait, Bob, stop. Let's analyze. I want to know what
don't.
He's saying.
You'll never figure out what Coker. I want to just get to the point here about time. Okay.
No.
Listen to this, Brian. Just get to the
general. Okay, I'm listening.
But if that, whatever he said, but if that is the case, if indeed power has taken to the air, literally, because he's talking about sky drones, literally taken flight with the technological capacity provided by drones to turn the sky into a warlike eye, that would also indicate that the grasp of power on the time of duration, the lived time of territorial and bodily inscription, has perhaps been terminally weakened. He's not saying there's no time. He's saying it's there, but it's weakened. When the sky has been transformed into a liquid eye of power, monitoring, watching, archiving visual data for storage in distant archives, with target acquisition and weaponized drone strikes as its military tools of choice, the greater complexity and intricate materialism of time escapes its grasp. So it's saying there is time, but it's not able to be caught by the spatial weapons anymore. Now, that's a lot different than saying there ain't no time. And that's why I quote it. He goes into saying there is time, but it's become elusive. So I know you're not going to think about that, Brian, but us to send it once, we will look at that and analyze that. That'll be one of Katie's assignment next week. Katie and Roxanne make a video out of it, and Katie, I hear Karen laughing, and Katie will analyze the Coker paragraph. Right, Katie?
Sure. Because it didn't make a fucking lick of sense to me. So explain to me what he said in your words.
I don't explain Coker. I'll do it in dialogue with Katie with someone who's read it. I don't explain it to someone who hasn't read it and hasn't got a hope and prayer of understanding it. Someone who's still trying to figure out what the fucking lampstands are is not going to understand Coker, okay?
Okay.
Well, what you just read, what it makes me think of with Allison and my experience of listening to her talk sometimes, it's not even so much like she's flipping back and forth. That wouldn't be really what I would describe it as now. Now I would describe it as more she's like tuning the dial, so she's sliding up and down the time continuum. And so these conversations are going on simultaneously for her, but for the other people, it's kind of like you're not fully tuned into her. But it's not.
You know, there is no space-time continuum. Mayan says she's been sliding into one world and another and back. There's no continuum to slide up and down.
I didn't say time-space continuum. I said time continuum. That might not be the right word. I'm talking about, like, it's like broadcast. She's like a big radio broadcast, and we all have a dial, and we're trying to tune into her.
She should be tunable, because she's not always on the same spot on the dial.
Correct. So maybe not continuum, but dial. And neither is the perfect analogy.
Yes, and she's shifting from one space zone to another.
Correct.
Allison, let's say that this is a big reality. This is a fact. Does parts of your life begin to make sense that never fixed? You know, think of other anomalies that this could explain.
I guess. I mean, you know, there's so much that Ian has said that I already adopted. So this is kind of silly for me.
No,
it's already adopted.
You already switched to another Allison. It was big 5 minutes ago. Now it's like, nothing. It's nothing.
Well, you slowed down. Your pace is slow.
Yeah, you've slowed down, Allison. You've slowed down. That's right. You slow thinking. Lazy, Allison. Like lazy, Allison.
Somebody support me. Help me.
No,
help me.
No support here. No. We're not here to heal you, to help
Katie,
you.
Katie.
We're here to fuck with you royally, okay?
Allison, I'm here to help you. I'm not here.
Yes, Brian. Yes, Brian.
You better.
Hey, Katie, when that was recorded, you have to understand that
Thanks, Brian.
I started saying it. We're not here to help anybody. And Ion is so sponge-like. He immediately took the thought and ran with it better than I was going. And I started laughing. You're listening to this.
Favorite thing ever.
Yeah, he starts saying that he gets the idea. He says, that's a good idea. Let's work with that. And he doesn't even care that he's, you know, saying he doesn't care. Let me just find it, because it is so beautiful the way he just slips into it. He's, oh, that Bob's playing that song. Okay, let's do it. All right, here it is.
This mm-hmm. product is only for ascending people.
Mm-hmm.
Not for unhealthy people. Not people.
Yeah. You see, here I am picking mm-hmm. up the fucking. Mm-hmm. He imitates my first line, and he starts to run with it. So let's just try that again. Let's see how
play
he picks up on it. He's like listening to her like a little kid, and Dad starts saying something. He goes, oh, I know, I can do that one. Okay, yeah, we're not here to help anybody.
Love you, Katie.
Fuck what he's saying.
This product is only for ascending people.
Mm-hmm.
Not for unhealthy people. Not people who are sick. Not people who got all these
problems. We're not
here
to cure anything. We're not here to help anything. We're not trying to soothe anything. We're not trying to make you happy. We're not trying to prove your happiness. We're not trying to see that you're whether or not you're happy. We are not here that we did not, this product was not created for your benefit, for your pleasure, or for your enjoyable delightment. Not for that. It's only for the ascending.
He even comes up, he even gets himself, like he said, it's not for this. After years of saying what the product is for, he comes on and mm-hmm. says it ain't for anything. And then where's he going to go? And he goes, oh, it's just for the ascended, which was a great way to get out of it, which we don't know what it means. It's just for the ascended. The Iron almost doesn't get out of the cul-de-sac he talks himself into. He almost, if we don't accept what the ascended, we don't know what he's talking about, then he didn't get out of it. But did you notice, like a little kid, how he heard the idea and he picked up on it?
Mm-hmm.
Like Carolyn gets it. She goes, that's right. Now, Carolyn, she's actually trying to make it helpful. I don't even know why Carolyn goes, that's right. We're not for it. She doesn't even know. Carolyn doesn't even know what I'm saying unless she's feeling it. But Ion, you can hear me just behind. He's a beat behind. It's so beautiful. Let's do this again.
This product is only for ascending people.
Mm-hmm.
Not for unhealthy people, not people who are sick, not people who got all these problems.
We're not here to cure anything. We're not here to help anything. We're not trying to soothe anything. We're not trying to make you happy. We're not trying to prove your happiness. We're not trying to see that you're whether or not you're happy. We're not here that we did not, this product was not created for your benefit, for your pleasure, or for your enjoyable delightment. Not for that. It's only for the essential.
Now, I mean, what the fuck did I mean? I started off saying this is only for the ascended. What the fuck was I talking about, you know?
I have no idea.
Yeah, I have no idea. This is only for the ascending, maybe I meant.
We were probably hearing some complaint from someone who said, it's not working.
Well, occasionally Ion does tell us, Bob, we are going to not have every... We are going to start withholding products. That's our big secret. Ion plans the long run to withhold a lot of that stuff. And I started trying to figure out why. Then I made up a commercial. Probably Ion had said that, so I made up a commercial. We're not. This is not for you. It's not for anybody. It's totally for the center. So, yes, Ion has taken the tack. I beat him back and told him to shut up. I'm a Democrat. I'm a communist. And when he starts saying this is going to be for an elite, Bob, the 1%, I said, fuck you. So that could have come out of that thought.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sorry I told you that your days of access to our wonderful products are limited. Another reason you got to get happy or get out, because we won't even be giving you our stuff. You won't be able to get it. That'll be sad. I'm working for you.
Bad.
I'm your union leader. I'm working for you. I'm against management's decisions along those lines. You know.
You're the human leader? That's so great.
What'd you say?
I said you're the human leader?
Yes. I'm not trying to become inhuman. I am advocating everybody to become inhuman. I'm staying back with the humans, the 99%.
Yeah. Wow.
Is that Allison saying that?
Yes.
I wasn't sure. So what about Kate the Great? What did she have anything to say about this Allison dilemma?
I love
New
Kate,
York,
by the way.
What? Hey, Kate, you know, mute.
Hi.
Fix your phone. Fix your phone, Kate.
I've been on mute. I've been muting myself. But I'm listening to everything.
What
I really like
Kate.
I actually really, I really love what Katie was saying. I feel like I resonate a lot with what she was saying, and I feel like she put me at ease because I as a young person, I was thinking that I had to like measure up to all these INFs. But after what she said, I feel like I don't care. Like I can go back to not caring so much. Like I used to not really care because I don't really care.
Well, I have standards, Kate, and you know, I'm not telling you what the standards are, but you watch yourself. You be careful. You know, you might have to care about something if you want to talk to Ion or have our products. Right? They don't get too indifferent.
I know. I know.
Yeah, you know. You know whatever said you. You know.
Yeah. So about the Allison thing. Yeah.
So you probably Allison. Katie just came back. Katie, you missed it. Kate the Great, and Great stands for grateful. She said that she really likes what you said, Katie. It made her not worry about standing up or measuring up to the ions as much because of what you said. She appreciates. She's learned something, Kate. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yes. Katie's rock.
We do.
Yeah, Katie's rock. So, Roxy, do you have any say, Roxy, about all, if you've heard what we're saying, do you have any Spanish wisdom to bring to this, Toltec wisdom or Berliner wisdom?
No, I don't have any.
don't you guys,
oh, no,
you guys
actually,
see me? Okay, yeah, go ahead.
Actually, I don't understand this thing about being more ascended or less ascended.
That's right. You actually don't understand anything more and more as each week goes by. Roxy doesn't understand anything I am saying as her mind gets melted every week. So she hasn't much to say.
No,
anymore, right?
Yes, because my mind is occupied in many other things, like everything is changing in the planet, the whole nature. And I had like a crisis because I always love to learn, but I felt like because everything is changing, there is no point in learning anymore. And I was also commenting to Bob, I spent many years learning about German philosophy, reading Hegel and Nietzsche and Kierkegaard and Kant, all these Germans in German. And it brings you nowhere. You can spend years and years just in the labyrinth of your mind, and there are so many words that are not even right, like the awareness or the spirit, time, and the truth. So, yes, I mean, it's like, I don't know what is this story about me being more ascended. I mean, I think everybody's in like a path and having their own crisis and questioning and yes, it's maybe in...
See, now that's an ascended person. That's an ascended person talking. They don't know what ascension is anymore. That's an ascended person.
Well, and I'll take that back, that I said that Roxy's more ascended than I am. All I was trying to articulate in that moment was a rebuttal for your statement that in order for
you're
people
ascended.
To be ascended,
yeah.
You had said that Ion said that I'm ascended, whatever.
Yeah.
That you need to come in here and be a bitch and be hated. My point was that's not true because look at Roxy. Now I'll take out the statement that she's more ascended or as ascended or
you
whatever.
What,
like I
know
didn't
what Bob said? That Ion hates me.
No, you said that. You
no,
said
no,
at
no,
some
no.
point.
You would say
at some
that,
point.
You say that publicly.
No. I'll say both. The first thing. Is I've noticed that Ian's irritated with you sometimes. And when you said to me the other day, sometimes I think he doesn't like me or he's mad at me. You remember saying that to me?
No. I never say that. On the contrary, I'm always saying he likes me.
No.
Bob told me that you said that Ion didn't like you.
Yes, I said it to Carolyn.
Yeah.
And maybe I misinterpreted.
Why didn't Ion like me? That was some night when Ion was going after Bert, and he was going after everybody.
Right, and I told, and I said to Roxanne.
All the time I was saying he liked me because he asked me, how's your mom and dad?
No, that's true. That was said a few days before this. And then all of a sudden you said, sometimes I get the feeling Ian doesn't like me. That's what I thought I heard you say. And I agree with that. Sometimes he seems to be irritated by you and maybe a few others. But,
remember, you also said, Bob, you also said a couple of weeks ago that when Ion says, oh, I love you, darling, he's being dismissive.
Yes.
Those are the people that he doesn't like. So you can't go by human signs of affection.
And I said that to Roxy. She wasn't liked.
Actually,
no, you're liked.
Actually, how can non-physical like you or not like you?
That's what I told you, yeah.
That's a good point.
Just to think that he's like a person and has this...
No, I agree with you. I said that to you. I thought you said that you weren't liked, and I said, no, Ian doesn't have those emotions. We should drop the topic. How do we get onto this? Did you say something, or how do we start on this? Do you know?
Because Roxy was saying that she doesn't get the story that I was saying about how she's more ascended than me.
Oh, yeah.
And so I'm taking that back, officially striking that from the record.
Yeah.
Because really all I was trying to say was that you don't have to come. Being hated is not the path to ascension. It was my path.
I just tried to get something going there. Nobody knows how to get ascended, so we'll try that one.
And listen, let me just say one more thing before we close this topic. I find it super annoying when people call in fishing for that affection from Ion. Hi, Ion. It just makes me crazy. I'm like, seriously. It's like when you say to a guy, do I look pretty? Yeah, you look pretty. He said I look pretty. No,
yeah,
he's fishing for a compliment.
The only person who sounds like that is Eliza, right?
There are several. I'm not going to name names, but
come on, Eliza. Come on here and defend yourself. I'm just trying to get Eliza to talk. She won't ever say a word. I don't know if she's even listening. She books in. She has her name. Well, she's not even here. Oh, no, she's here, but she won't say anything.
I'm here.
Yeah. You sound so whiny when you talk to Ion. What's that about, Eliza?
I don't think I get whiny.
See, that's the voice you're talking about, right, Katie? That's the one that says, Ion, do you like me?
No, that's not the exact voice.
Bob, you think I retreat to my kitchen when Ion responds to me in something, and I don't. I sit wherever I question him.
Yeah. Okay, well, maybe I'm mistaken.
Oh.
Never mind.
Bob,
I have a question.
Yeah.
Is Ion now a separate entity? I know they're not an entity.
Yes.
But everyone addresses Ion as if it's separate from us.
It is. The creating Ion is separate from us. And even JW was noticing, this was said before we saw the hologram leaving JW, but JW was saying to me a few weeks ago, you know, I really feel that Ion's not involved with me as much anymore. Remember him saying that, Carolyn? Did you hear that? JW said that he doesn't feel Ion is around him as much. It's away. It's other places. It's not as involved with him.
No, I never heard that.
Oh, yeah. No, he said that. And maybe I'm not interpreting right, but he definitely has a feeling that Ion is on its own now.
You said that last week, too.
Yeah, no, JW said it to me. We talked about it. I mean, I know
we
talked.
Yeah, it's not like we don't have access to Ion.
No, we have access to Ion, but JW does not feel that he's required for Ion to talk to us.
Right. Gotcha.
And he said that right before we actually saw it. It's almost like JW allowed it to happen.
Right.
Because he realized he didn't require it, or it had a life of its own, and he wasn't involved that way. No, he really did. And then Ian showed us how it's not connected.
Mm-hmm.
And Ian has always said that, whoever I'm talking to about this, he said a couple of years ago that he does not require talking through Ion, through JW. They only do it because that's acceptable to us. Whatever he would have done if he didn't do that wouldn't have been acceptable to me and Karen. We would have, I don't know, got upset or something or wondered what it was.
Is Ion still non-physical?
Yes, Ion is non-physical, but it's a creating non-physical. And I say Ion came here and merged with the physical. That's why there's no guff. And it took him 5 years to admit it. But I asked him, it's on recording a few shows ago, I said, you became merged with the physical and there was no guff on March 18th, 2009. And he said yes.
Mm-hmm. That was something I also find very interesting, that he's also changing and evolving.
Yeah. Roxy, I'd say he's allowing us to see other aspects. He's not changing. Other than to the degree he's engaging physical and can create, that may be creating new things for him that makes him seem different to us. So, you're partly right that he must be enjoying the benefits of creating, and that must be new for him. But if you quizzed him on that, you'd end up with opposite ideas, because he'll always take it to the opposite level eventually as you probe it.
Well, Ion has mentioned several times that the reason they are getting stronger and are able to create more is because we are not taking our power.
Yeah, especially you, Susanna. You're one of the biggest culprits. You're holding us really way back. You know, like, you made a little effort. We'd get somewhere.
Bob?
Yes?
I'm going to take that back. I think I got a little too defensive, but when I do listen to the archives, I do hear whininess, so I am going to agree with you there.
Right. It may be the way your voice is, but no, one could hear that in your voice.
Okay. But in my defense, when I ask Ian certain questions, he doesn't respond.
If there's anybody Ian doesn't like, it's you for some reason. I don't know what he's got against you. What you did.
I like you.
Yeah, I like you.
Yeah, no. Eliza does have the highest percentage of unanswered questions. Wouldn't you agree, Eliza? There's a lot of times you ask, he doesn't answer for some reason.
So if they're coming from a place of neediness, then Ion might just...
Well, like Eliza's the toughest one here. She's an Afghani, you know, and all this terrible background she came from. She's not a North American. If anybody would be tough, it's Eliza. She lives
machine gun in her closet.
Yeah, she lives in Brooklyn. She has to put up with New Yorkers. I mean, you know, we're a tough bitch here, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I want to be hated.
Yeah.
There you go.
No,
are you a bad bitch?
You have to be in New York City.
It's like that new Iggy song. You want a bad bitch like me, don't you?
Black Widow? Yeah, Steve, no wonder why I like that song so much.
Well, it's not Black Widow. It's in there, but it's in, what's the name of that song? Beg For It. I'll make it, I don't know, something like that.
So, Eliza, I get the impression you've lived in New York all your life.
Yeah, most of my life.
And now some New Yorkers are very sheltered. You could also come across as a very sheltered person, only know New York City, and learn to adapt to it, that tribal concentration camp, and that could create a sense of littleness. Now, is that true about you?
No, I don't think so, because I can see, like when I at my work or when I walk out in public, I can see how the mindset of people is so different from what, you know, from my mentality. So it's not like I feel like I blend right in, I feel like this is home. I feel more like a fish out of water here.
Right, and you felt that before I ended up.
Yeah.
Well, that could be a kind of littleness because you don't know how to relate to people out of some kind of insecurity, and you don't know it is insecurity.
Or superiority.
Or superiority, which is based on insecurity.
But it's not my superiority because I see it in them. I see the superiority in them, and that kind of turns me off. And even
right, because you're operating from an inferiority complex. You don't like people who have superiority complexes. You're a Democrat. You're a communist. You want everybody to be equal.
But it certainly doesn't, motivate me to talk to them more.
I know. You're afraid of them. You have an inferiority complex.
But I'm not afraid of them. I just don't feel like there's a point in talking to them any further when there are certain things that I pick up on.
Well, you could be operating from a confident position that you know their superiority is an illusion. They're basing it on nonsense. That could be a more solid base.
That makes sense.
Is that you?
Yeah.
Okay. Yes, you know you're pretty knowing, and you just think these people are silly the way they think they know.
Very silly.
Okay, so that kind of person shouldn't sound whiny. No, you kind, the way you are describing yourself.
No, I've listened to the archives. I've listened to myself talk, and I'm not proud of it, but because I pick it up in my voice.
Yeah, you suck.
It's not like I want anyone else to listen to it.
Yeah, you're quite embarrassing. Yeah,
okay, Bob.
You ruin most of the internet recordings for new recruits. I mean, you're the little person they're thinking of. You sound like one. Yeah. Anybody else notice that?
No.
Well, you don't listen to the archives. You know. Nobody listens to the archives. Eliza's the only one to listen to it and trust her to be the one to find out she doesn't like the way she sounds.
I think you've changed a lot, Eliza, since you started.
Thanks. I've noticed people's evolution as well, like Katie's. Tonight's conversation was pretty good. The dialogue between her and Bob and Allison has been pretty good. Last week's was good as well, about that guy on Oprah. And
yeah.
I appreciate watching her evolution because I resonate with most of it. She puts into words what the things that I know or think about.
Notice. Right. Mm-hmm. What do you think of that, Katie? You still here?
Yeah, I don't care what anybody thinks.
Hey, you don't need to keep saying that. You'd be different. Pretend you care for a while. See, now you develop your quadrophenia. You're actually becoming the... You put on other attitudes. Pretend you're interested.
Well, I think that it's interesting that people have liked the talks more when I'm not talking about McLuhan and talking
about
more pop cultural stuff that might be perceived as less academic,
right?
Easier. And so that could be why, but I'm not going to say that those
like
talks
the
are better. And that,
what,
yeah,
what
not
do you think of
that
the McLuhan
wait,
record?
Wait.
Are you listening to the McLuhan recordings?
Of course. I'm having a Mark D16 orgasm over them.
Right.
They're fantastic. Here's my point. I'm not going to agree with Eliza that I have evolved or grown because she liked my last two talks better because they were about pop culture instead of McLuhan. They were just different. So, I mean, I'll say thank you to that, but I'm not going to claim to agree that I have evolved and that my talks are better because I've improved because I'm not talking about McLuhan. I don't see that as an improvement. It's just
that's
different.
Right. Eliza's talking like a little person.
I'm not basing her quote-unquote evolution on the last two talks. I've just listened more in the last two talks. But from the beginning when she started to talk to you, I mean, it's really no big deal. I just wanted to say that.
Oh, I mean, for sure, when I read the Gutenberg Galaxy, absolutely.
And it's a mixture. She doesn't just talk about pop culture all the time or McLuhan all the time. It's pretty much a mixture, you know, keeping a variety. Not one thing that I was talking about in specific.
Sitting here watching hockey.
Greg's watching hockey. Wait, can't you contribute, Greg? What are you watching hockey for, you fucking dumb?
I was supposed to be on mute this whole time. Ian must have fucked me over again.
So why don't you contribute, Greg?
Well, I've only raised my hand like 17 times in the last 3 hours.
That's ridiculous. You're fucking off mute. There was a period where I didn't notice that you were muted. You're on mute.
Okay, up until, I don't know when I came off mute, but I was like, hello, fucking listen to me. And he didn't, so that's the way it is. But at the beginning of Katie's talk, she was talking about a woman who was speaking voices or, channeling something that a person was saying.
Oh, Barbara Marks Hubbard, channeling Christ. Yeah.
Yeah, and the Evergreens got into this for a while with George, and they called it a simulacron. George was really into getting people to be able to create a simulacron, which I'll define as best I can, which is an outward manifestation coming from the subconscious, from the non-physical, which means that in order for people to validate something, they'll often give it an exterior origin. So you're saying, no, it wasn't me. I was channeling Booga Booga, who's, a 40-million-year-old Chinese guru, mm-hmm. and George was into teaching, or with the Evergreens, trying to get us to be able to externalize something of our subconscious and, see a person or hear a voice and say, well, look what this person is saying to us, when, of course, I think 99.9% of the time, nobody's channeling fucking anything except their own beingness. But you give it a funny name. I mean, Michael Reed changed his voice so it would have more validation. Nobody really knows what Michael was channeling. Maybe he had a simulacron. I heard voices for 2 or 3 years before Ion came around. I've said mm-hmm. many times in this radio, if I was a religious type, it was fucking God talking to me, period, because it was batting 100 all the time. So that whole simulacron thing was something that went on for about 2 or 3 years, and it just never worked, supposedly, or we didn't drop it and stuff like that. So that's what I wanted to add back then.
Hey, Greg. So would you say? So what? Have you had those same thoughts about JW and Ion?
No. No, not at all, Brian. Ion is just it's a whole new ball game. I mean, Ion made me laugh every 20 seconds uh-huh. during a session because Ion was picking my brains and saying things to me that they knew would get me to laugh because it was me. And when someone said, I am not Iandom or Iandom is in me or something like that. I sense that in other people, and I sense that in myself, that we're all kind of starting to rely on ourselves a lot more, which I believe will result in less people calling into this show. I'm going to use words, we lost a bunch of people who don't call in anymore because they found their own validity. What was the word you used, Brian? You said your own...
Sovereignty.
Sovereignty. Same kind of deal. Ion's job with us, in ourself, is to get that sovereignty so we go on our merry way and rule the world. And we're all kind of doing it in our own way. I think the discussion about, who's more ascended or less ascended, it's true, if pigs have enough thrust, they can fly. But short of that, it's a mute point. Who can be more ascended or less ascended? I mean, I've met people in my business who make their life work incredibly smoothly, and they have love and joy. But, man, if you looked at them, walking down the street, you'd think the guy was or the woman was just a complete loser. So and like Bob has said, he's had sessions with people where, man, he took away all of his judgment because he heard people come up with stuff that didn't seem to fit their persona. And, I mean, the whole game is wide open right now. It's wide open. And I enjoy listening here on the side. My phone just went off mute by itself perfectly. And I had a great experience tonight. I was in a restaurant with my employees for Christmas, left a very personal item in the restaurant, walked out to my car, couldn't find it, wasn't in me. And sure enough, I get home and I turn around and there it is sitting on the counter. Well, that to me is just the way I want my life to run. Now, I did get out of my truck and say to myself, I will miss that, without a big deal of attachment or any kind of, you know, emotional pissed offness. And sure enough, it showed up. Well, that was just a little validation that I asked of myself to feel that it's all still going in the right direction. Ultimately, I wouldn't think of leaving something in the restaurant, and I would turn around and there it was and not have to create that little bit of contrast. So my thing now is there's lots of heat in the fires that I live in. I mean, this year for me, I've had my share of people's reset. You know, I had three very close friends die. I've watched some people who I had a lot of respect for literally drop to the bottom and move in with their kids. But my goal is to have as least amount of heat in the fire as possible. And what I mean by that is fires, but there's no heat. There's no angst. There's no consequences. There's no, you move through it freely and easily. And in my business, the three or four things that my attention has to be focused on, lots of heat, but as I move through this process, lots of fire, but as I move through this process, there's less and less heat. And that heat is the way I respond to it or, in comparison, react to it and how right. quickly I move through it to the next thing.
You're not consumed by it.
Not at all. No, not at all. Oh, I get caught up. Don't get me wrong. You know, I'll go on a tear just as much as anybody else will and enjoy it, you know, until I go, whoa, you know, pull the horse back and go, okay, that was fun. Fuck that. No, thank you, and move on to something else. So, yeah, I get caught up in the heat once in a while, of course. But it's that I can enjoy getting caught up in the heat, too. It's almost like a fun little game I play with myself. So, what else? I think it was something else that I wanted to mention about what Katie was saying. Nope. I'll get it back. Anyway.
Hey, Greg, I was talking to someone, an old Ionette, and they had to get away for a while. Now they're coming back. And she said she would never leave permanently. She knows to come back because Ion's the best thing ever. And I say to those people who think they've got it and went away, I can tolerate being away for a while, but you better come fucking back because you should be the most important thing should be engaging with Ion, with people. This is the best thing in the world, and you better come back. And I don't believe in going off and making your life happen because that's bullshit. Your life's already going to happen and it's going to be perfect. What the challenge is interacting with other people and not losing your cool.
That is a great words, Bob. That is fucking great words. You're absolutely right. People, I mean, just like the guy who hired Bob Dylan, you know, he wasn't feeling so great because he didn't have that interaction with others. And you know what? If we're not here to interact with each other, fuck it. Pack in your belly button and go home. So I agree. This is the best thing that's going on, and that's why we don't often have a lot to say, but we do listen, and we partake in the drops, and you know, I'm not into McLuhan. Ginny's a little bit into McLuhan and that. I have, you know, the back 40 that I got to plow every once in a while, so it takes my time. But I see the benefits of engaging with people here every day, and it's I've watched people who haven't engaged in this, and, Bob, it's not ended well for them.
Were they here? Are you saying they were here or they never were here?
They were never here, and we'll talk about that in private. But I watched people check out, transition this year, and I still get a little bothered by their choices, you know, because I enjoy their company and I'm selfish and I'd like them to hang around for my entertainment. No, yeah. They checked out, you know. So that's a little bit of heat for me.
Well, we were talking with somebody, maybe Katie at the very beginning, about how preposterous it is, how no religion ever said what I am saying, but even the distillation of it down to that you don't have to die. We haven't heard that said much. Not like go to a higher self and go to heaven and stay there forever, but actually stay in your lowly physical, and that's more prominent than anything, and stay in that, live forever. Who's ever said that before?
Yeah. Yeah, I meet people my age, and I used to be at the point where I just couldn't relate to them. Now I meet people at my age, and it's like, okay, when did you stop existing? You know, when did you stop enjoying? When did you stop that lust for life? When did you stop that childlike enjoyment of everything that, you know, you do on this Saturday show? I mean, I meet people who are 60 years old, and I'm just like, I shake my head, and they're not engaging in the better part of what we have available to us, which is, you know, non-physical. I used to put a little alarm bell on my phone to ring randomly during the day, and it would sound just like someone calling me. So I'd pick my phone up and I'd look at it, the message I had to myself was, "Where are you?" And it was a little reminder for me that I am more than me, which is something the Evergreens told me 35 years ago. I asked them, I said, what's holding me back from, and in those days, you know, spiritual growth and all that stuff, right? And they said, you still think you're only you. Well, it wasn't until Ion that I could answer that.
Right.
And once I experienced Ion, I could answer that for myself. Right, I'm not.
Yeah. When is Ellie going to join us? You know.
Oh, geez.
When's Ellie going to fight? You been talking to her lately?
No, not at all. And no, she won't. No, I don't. Yeah. I try to touch base with her every 6 months just to see if there's a door there. You know, because I care for her and I have some compassion for her, and I think delusionally anybody who listened to a million Evergreens readings got to have something good going on. Well,
yeah.
Not necessarily, Bob. Not necessarily. I mean, you know, look at Michael's
George
first.
Here?
Yeah, why isn't George here?
George said that the Evergreen, that Ion completes the Evergreens, but that was an intellectual idea. He did not know to engage Ion from that point on.
For him to engage Ion would have been for him to admit that he was not in a place of ascension.
Right.
And he can't do that. He can't do that.
Look, we know that when Ion shows up tonight or whenever, there's going to be some of the old things said, but there's going to be some new preposterous things happening. There's nobody on the fucking planet that is that interesting. Nobody can perform like that.
It shows us that the depth that we have in ourselves has barely been touched, because Ion's just reflecting us. Ion's not something out there bigger than, you know, Saturn. What Ion's reflecting is what all we have. And every time I listen to Ion, where something sounds completely crazy, I'll make a couple notes on it, and I'll think about it for a day or two, and something will come to me, and I go, Ion, you sly little fucker. I think that's what Ion was pointing to here. There is, take him literal. You know, even when it sounds like gobbledygook, take it literal. It is the best thing around. And again, I've said to you many times, you know, Ion said we could raise the dead. That, to me, changed the whole bar for everything.
Yeah.
I'd never heard anything like that. That opens up any possibility. If you can even conceive of raising the dead and bringing somebody back, then what can't you do?
Yeah.
Water to wine, pizza cake.
We have Beverly here, and we were talking about Beverly earlier. About a month ago or an hour ago, Kate, remember we were talking about when you said to Beverly, well, this group of people, you're a newbie, well, let me warn you, they won't even help you. So
thank God.
Laughing about that. And so, Beverly, that's what was remembered about you. Beverly, if you want to say something to Katie, she's the one who said it to you. You're not going to say anything, Beverly?
What? I'm here, sorry. I don't think that was me that did that, that said
didn't
that.
Did you come on with a group of people? With new,
it was
with new
Betsy.
People? Oh, Betsy, okay. Who said Betsy?
Beverly.
No, it wasn't me that said Betsy.
Who said Betsy?
Susanna.
Oh, yeah, you remember that? It was Betsy. Okay, it wasn't you, Beverly, sorry. But mm-hmm. Betsy never came back. I've never seen that. I don't know who Betsy is. I remember her being there, and wasn't she from Georgia? Aren't you from Georgia, Beverly? No, I guess not.
No, I live in Illinois.
Oh, okay. So Betsy disappeared. I guess she was looking for community.
I see her in the chat room when Carolyn's show is on.
What name is she under? Betsy?
Betsy.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay, Beverly, you never say anything. And remember, I do not like listeners. I don't want people here listening. They need to get in here and say nonsense. You're here to talk, not listen.
Okay.
Start talking, Beverly.
Okay, here's a question. Quite a while ago, you said that Ian had tried to get Carolyn to be a doctor for the 1%, but she wasn't having any of it. And I was wondering if Ian ever described what a doctor of the 1% would be like.
I don't remember that, but Carolyn, do you? You know what that is? That idea.
I don't remember specifically, but I suppose in a way that they would tell me not to bother with the little man or the whiners, just the people that didn't need me. Because if I just work with the ascended, they don't need anything because they're ascended.
No, 1%. That's the people ascending. They're not necessarily ascended.
Oh, okay. Yeah, but every time I talk about some transitional treatment, Ion gets all huffy with me. He just wants people to.
But you do work with the 1%. He has said to you that you attract the people that you want to work with, and generally you like your patients. They're kind of ascending people or interesting people. They respond to you, and they come in at a nice, leisurely pace. So you actually do deal with the.
Okay.
1% of your world.
Right. Yeah, maybe just some of the crazy emails I get and occasionally people on the radio show who get very needy. And in my emails, if I'm busy, I just send out a cut and paste a FAQ in their email. I have no obligation to email back people who I don't know.
Yeah.
So, I'm kind of being aloof in that way. Because if people really want some information, want my help, I'm happy to give it, but I'm not going to tell them what to do. They have to, they're going to be doing all the work, not me.
Yeah. Yeah, I've heard him kind of poo-poo what you've had to say sometimes, and I was just wondering if
he does.
He'll even put down magnesium, and then I'll fight him on it, And so part of that is just us, having a little entertaining the troops with our fighting, because who fights with non-physical?
Right. Just wondering what his advice might be if he would. Well, yeah. If he would be a doctor, if he was, I'll say he was a doctor for the 1%, what his advice would be in contrast to what Carolyn has to say.
I think it would be like he says, get happy or get out. If you get something wrong, take a double-barrel butcher knife to it, just all that stuff.
Yeah, but in private sessions, he would be more amenable to going into details.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, true.
Ion's different. There's no constant ion. Mm-hmm. It's always different.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know what he's going to do next or how he's going to do it or who he's going to respond to. That's what I've noticed.
Yeah, and I guess there's a big bias in him being them being on the Heyday show because it is for a group audience. So people really don't have any concept of what it's like in person.
Yeah.
Unless you listen to Greg's sessions, whoever we play, and you can understand what they're going through, then you can understand what a session would be. There are some standard answers Ian gives people, but it's usually he will pick up other things about you and talk about that. He'll tell you what you didn't notice, and he'll go into it. And that would be unique to each individual. Well, Jermaine, you're here. There's no Ion yet. Do you want to talk to the hoi polloi, Jermaine, or you just want to listen?
No, I can talk.
All right.
Can you
tell
hear me
something.
Now?
Yeah, we can hear you clearly. Talk to us.
All right. I just want to see what you guys say about engaging with people and connecting with people. I've never been good at it, so why not ask you guys since we all try to connect and engage with people?
Yeah.
Anyone?
Well, no.
I figured I'd try that now.
What, you specify what you're asking us to tell you how to connect with people?
Yeah, I want everyone's opinion on how you guys do it. How do you, like, connect? I talk to people. I'm great at talking and hanging out, but I somehow don't ever connect to people that well.
Oh, okay. And you're not talking about connecting about ionic topics. You're just saying you don't make friends. You don't find anybody worth connecting with is what you're saying.
Well, I'm not saying that worse, like nobody's worth anything. Just having a connection or having a deeper connection than just talking to people.